This morning, however, we are continuing in our study that we just started last week, Jesus, Servant of All, and this is part two. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 2 this morning, so turn to Philippians chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 1 through 11, and we're emphasizing a summer of service. What we're doing or trying to do this summer is have a series of messages, and which we started last week, which encourage us in our service, but coupled together with encouraging service, actually providing opportunities for us to serve. And VBS is a big once a year kind of thing, and it's big, and so many of us are involved in that, and that's one way to serve, and there's so many different ways to serve for VBS, but there's more to serving than just VBS, and as we move through the summer, we're going to have other opportunities, things that we'll emphasize and highlight, even some things that we're already doing, like the Martinsburg Rescue Mission and other things. So you'll be hearing more about that as we move through the summer. This morning, we want to continue looking at Jesus, who becomes who is the example of service. He is the example to us on how we ought to serve. And I tell you that as we consider some of these things, it is contrary to what we want to do naturally. It is contrary to our natural inclinations or the moving in which our bodies, our flesh wants to take us. There's a little bit of an adjustment that needs to take place in our minds and in our hearts as to what it means to serve Lord, we find Jesus as being the example. Last week, we looked at Mark chapter 10, and we saw how Jesus cautioned against the desire to be first. He cautioned against the desire to be first, or the desire to be at the top. This is how the world does it, desiring to be at the top, but Jesus encourages us not to desire the top, but to humble ourselves to the bottom and what is at the bottom. We know the phrase, the first shall be last and the last shall be first, and that's kind of the heart or the emphasis of what Jesus is conveying to us. And Jesus, the King of all, the Son of Man, the ruler of the nations, the one who is at the top, shows what humility is all about when he lowers himself to the bottom. We know another example of Jesus humbling himself is found when he, at the Last Supper, or when they come in, he humbles himself and he washes the dust off of the disciples' feet. What an act of humility, an act that he should not have been doing, and yet he took that servant role upon himself, and he becomes our example. This week, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 2, and honestly, some of the emphasis or the encouragements that we see here in this passage is not different than what we saw last week. The message of Scripture is the same, and we find it emphasized again here in this passage. So let's read Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As we consider this great passage of Scripture, we want to look first at the example that Jesus gives to us. So Jesus, he is the Lord and the Christ. And the first point that we see coming out in this passage, in verse 6, is that Jesus is the express image of God. He is the express image of God. Now, here's a little bit of a technical note for us. In this passage in verse 6, let me read it again. It says, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. This phrase, this being in the form of God, this is a present active participle, which means that He is the one who is existing in the form of God. It is not something that was in the past. It is not something that is future. It is something that is true, that is ongoing, that is current. He currently and always is existing in the form of God. He was and is and always will be the one existing in the form of God. And what we have in this passage is really an affirmation of the deity of Jesus Christ. He is God. This is the exaltation of Jesus. This is the express image of God. This is the declaration of the deity of Christ, who He is and His person. And that brings us and makes what comes next even greater. So we find then next the first humiliation of Christ. So here is the one who is God, who is sitting on the throne of glory, and He humbles Himself to become a man. Verses 6 and 7 again, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. This is the first humiliation or the humbling of Christ. He leaves, departs His glory, and He becomes like one of us. It is like a king sitting on the throne, and he considers the people in his country, and he decides that there is something that he must do in order to help them. So he stands up from the throne, he takes off his crown, he lays down his scepter, he removes his robe, he becomes like one of his people, and he goes out among them in order to help them. This is what Jesus becoming a man is like. He made Himself of no reputation, or He emptied Himself of the glory that He had in order to become a man, to become like one of us. It says, actually, in verse 7, He took on the form of a bondservant. So He is the form or the image of God, and He takes on the form of a bondservant or becomes like a bondservant, and that would be like you and me. And He came in the likeness of men. And these verses speak of the incarnation of God. This is what we celebrate when we come to Christmas time. God with us, right? And so we read about it and we worship Him at Christmas time, and we remember verses like Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, which really just kind of say it for us. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. And this is a quote from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And so Jesus, sitting on the throne of glory, emptied Himself and took on the form of man. And this is the first humiliation of Jesus. He became a man. Now, this is pretty significant. We're talking about the King of glory becoming like one of us. We are not like the King of glory. We are not like God. And so this is a step down for Jesus to leave the throne of glory and to come down among men. But when we consider this first humiliation, there is a further humiliation of Jesus. And this is the second humiliation. As a man, He humbled Himself further. It says in verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This is not right. This is a travesty. This is an injustice that the Creator would become killed by the creature. In His humiliation, having become a man, He humbles Himself even further, and we find that the Creator yields to the creature. We find that the King yields to the slaves of sin. We find that the ruler of light yields to the power of darkness. The humiliation of Christ. And this is two steps down. And this is going to become important for us as we move through this passage. But of course, we know how it ended here. We know the glorification of Jesus, the exaltation of Christ, and it is spoken of in this passage, beginning in He became, verse 8, he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, verse 9, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. And here are these great passages of Scripture, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. This is the exaltation of Jesus. He is victorious. He is exalted. It is complete. And every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Now, praise be to the Lord. If you're a believer here, then bowing the knee to Christ and confessing that He is Lord will be a shout of victory and praise for us. Amen? Amen? Yes, He is Lord. All the praise belongs to Him. He has redeemed us. He has bought our forgiveness. He has given us new life. Praise be to Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. But we are not the only ones who will bow the knee and confess with the mouth. Everything that has breath, everything that He has made, will bow the knee to Him and confess with the mouth. And that includes those who do not believe. They will be brought into His presence. They will be put down on their knees, and they will be forced to confess that He is Lord to their destruction. Jesus comes out on top. He is exalted above all creation. Praise be to Him. Now, as we consider this, this section, actually, from verses 8 through 11, or 5 through 11, is a transition from what He said in the previous verses. And it starts out in verse 5, and this is where it becomes really important to us. It starts out in verse 5 as an exhortation to you and me. It says, let this mind be in you which was in Him. Let this mind be in you which was in Him. Have the same mind that Jesus did. Have the same attitude that He had. And then he goes on and he explains what Jesus was thinking and the mind that He had and the attitude that he had. And so verse 5 leads into the example of Jesus in the verses that follow. And so we look at Jesus, and He serves as an example and an exhortation to us to have the same mind. So in verses 1 and 2, it says, Paul says, he's encouraging the Philippians, hey, look, you know, if there's any relationship to Christ, if there's any comfort that you find in Him, if there is any love, if there's any fellowship with the Spirit or mercy, then fulfill my joy by being of the same mind, thinking the same way about these things. This is how he's starting here. And then he gives the exhortation to believers in verses 3 and 4. And so we come back to verses 3 and 4 and we look at believers. Believers, we are the imitators of Jesus. So we're going to go through these two verses, verses 3 and 4, and we find something very similar to what we found last week. It is basically this: do not desire to be the greatest. Do not desire to be the top. Do not desire to be first. The first shall be last. And this just goes against our sensibilities, because in the flesh, and what we hear from the world over and over and over again, is that if you want to advance, and if you want to become anything, and if you want to accomplish anything, then these are the things that you must do, and these are the ways that you must think, and these are the attitudes that you might have. And many, many, many times, it cuts against what Jesus is telling us to do and how to do it. Now look, if Jesus was going to advance, if He was going to be at the top, if He was going to do it the way the world does it, then He would not have left His throne in glory. He was already at the top. And yet, as an example to us, He leaves that space, that place, that top place. He leaves it and humbles Himself. And then it becomes important for us to leave it and humble ourselves if we want to be like Jesus. Do you want to be like Jesus today? Being like Jesus means humbling yourself, moving to the bottom, and serving Him from there. Now, our trip from here to here is not very far. Jesus left the throne of glory and became a man. And once he became a man, he allowed the creature to kill him. That was two huge moves. But for us, it's just a small step. And sometimes we just make our small step something very, very big. What do you mean? I have to humble myself. What do you mean I have to do all of these things? And we get all uptight and we get all worked up, not realizing that all we're talking about is just a little step. And of course, in the eyes of Christ, it is a very important small step for us to take. So our first point this morning is that we ought, for believers, that we ought to have a humble attitude. He says in verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Selfish ambition or conceit. Selfish ambition speaks to seeking to make yourself greater than you are, that you ought to be. And there are a number of verses that speak about this. Let me give you some examples. Philippians chapter 1, verse 16. Paul is kind of, he's explaining what some of the people around him are doing. He's in prison and he's explaining. He says, the former preach Christ from selfish ambition. Preachers, we're preaching out of selfish ambition. Not sincerely, but supposing to add to the affliction of my chains. In other words, they were preaching out of spite in order to take a jab at Paul. Now, you might not be a preacher. As a preacher, I can appreciate this encouragement not to preach for selfish ambition. And I guess if I was preaching out of selfish ambition, staying in one place for 20 years is a long time. It's not really conducive to advancing in the eyes of this world. But this is what Christ calls us to preach and to serve Him humbly. But it's not just about preaching. It is about not doing something to take a jab at somebody else, to add to the affliction of somebody else, or to get back at somebody. And we are notorious for that. Our little remarks and our little actions are just meant to put somebody in their place. And that is not right. That is not right. Here's another verse, James chapter 3, verse 16. Where envy and self-seeking exist. Now that's the same word that is translated selfish ambition. It is selfish, it is self-centered, it is focused upon ourselves. Where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and everything evil thing are there. Now this is a pretty serious charge. If you have envy or selfish ambition, there is going to be the presence of all kinds of evil. This selfish ambition and envy are the opposite of what love is about. And this is what we were talking about in Sunday school for a little bit of time. We kind of forget that we're supposed to love other people. And really, when we stop loving others, we're kind of thinking more about ourselves. We become selfish and self-centered. And it's the natural tendency that we have as humans. We have to resist that by walking in the Spirit and allowing the love of Christ to flow through us as we seek to serve other people. And this is what this passage in Philippians is really heading towards. So don't do anything out of selfish ambition. Don't do anything out of conceit. This is when you think yourself to be greater than you really are, that you are more valuable than you really are. This is what pride is all about. This is what vanity is all about. And we are not called to pride and vanity. We are called to humility. As we move in this passage, notice what it says. It says, look, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind. And so here's the second thing that a believer ought to have in mind and attitude as we seek to serve Christ. A lowly mind. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. It says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. So here's the encouragement from Christ. Walk worthy of your calling with all, here it is, our word, lowliness, lowly mind, lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, with patience, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Do you ever get irritated or impatient with that other person next to you? Come on, admit it. Impatient, irritated, don't like what they're doing or what they're saying. They might not be doing anything wrong. They're just being who they are, but it just kind of grating under your skin. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, I know. You guys are quiet. That means you really, every one of you, are knowing what I'm talking about here. He says, with long-suffering, bearing one another in love. Now, this is no surprise. He's not making this up. We struggle with it today because they struggled with it back then, and other people struggled with it even before that. It is our human natural tendency to get irritated and to be impatient and to want to make more of ourselves and to put others in their place. All of this stuff is natural, but we're not to be natural. We are to be supernatural, if I can put it that way. We are to be filled with the Spirit and walk worthy of your calling in lowliness and gentleness. And this is not what the world teaches us to do. So as we are immersed in the world, we see revenge and getting back and speaking your mind and attacking and all of these things. That's what the world is pushing when Jesus is saying, look, take a step back and be humble and lowly of mind. But Pastor, people are going to walk all over me if I do that. They're going to take advantage of me. They're going to hurt me. They're going to take from me to make more of themselves. Yes, they will. Just be thankful you don't have to die for their sins, like Jesus died for yours and mine. And though they might walk on you now, every time somebody takes advantage of you, God makes a deposit in your bank account in heaven. And there is a reward that waits for us, an inheritance that none can take away. There is a crown that waits for us in Jesus' name when we walk in His ways. They killed the King of Glory, but God exalted Him to the highest place. And they might step and stand on us as we humble ourselves, but God will take a hold of our shoulders and lift us up one day. Praise be to God. So yes, they might walk on you and take advantage of you now, but do not let it bother you. You are walking in His ways. This is your calling. Be lowly of mind and gentle towards all people. Here's another verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people. And who are the younger ones out here? Raise your hand, all you younger people. Not very many younger people out there. You know it's coming, right? Afraid to raise your hand. Me and Colin and Ben were talking about that earlier, right? Making fun of somebody who's 30 and coming to the realization, hey, I'm 30 almost. All right, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. All right, now let me ask you, how many of you are younger? Nobody raise your hand. How many of you are elders that you want everybody to submit you to you, right? There you go. Now we got it right. No, just kidding. Likewise, you younger people, submit to yourself to your elders. Now here's the real part. This is the part I'm really getting at. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Look, if we're going to do it the world's way, we are going to find God resisting us. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in that place. I don't want to be in a position where God is resisting me because I am not submitting myself and not being humble. Instead, I want to be on the humble end and receive the abounding grace of God in my life because I need it. I need it. So let us do it God's way. Let us not regard ourselves more than we ought. Let us have a lowly mind and allow the grace of God to come towards us. Now, if you thought that was hard, it gets even better. Better. And that brings us to our third point, and this is to have a high regard for others. So, Verse 3, let nothing be done through selfishness or selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, here it is, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each esteem others better than himself. Now, our world's just pushing self-esteem. Self-esteem, self-esteem, self-esteem. Don't beat yourself up. You got to think highly of yourself. But, you know, high self-esteem and a low self-esteem are both equally self-centered and self-focused. It is not that we ought to esteem ourselves or not esteem ourselves. It is that we ought to esteem others. And the more that we're regarding others, the less we are regarding ourselves. And that is a good place to be. That's what love is all about. It is esteeming others better than yourself. This is a comparison here. And we are being told by Christ to think highly of others rather than thinking highly of ourselves. And again, this is just contrary to what the world is pushing. But this is what Christianity is all about. And then it gets even better than this. And we finish out this section here. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now, let me just put an aside note here. When he is telling us, when God is telling us to humble ourselves and to think more highly than of others, to have a lowly mind, this is not the I've got to beat myself up kind of mentality. He affirms that we have our needs. He says, don't only look out for your own interests. So he's not saying, look, just ignore what you have to do or just ignore what you need. As a matter of fact, you know, we find the second great commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Stephen, good job. Love your neighbor as yourself. So there isn't this, you know, we're not talking about Christianity as kind of, you know, beating yourself up kind of thing. It is having that healthy regard for yourself, which you are to magnify upon others. It is the golden rule, even though that has kind of been cliched, but that's the heart of it. We want to be concerned with the needs of others. And what we are being encouraged to, again, it's here because we need the encouragement. We would not normally gravitate to this on our own. This is a spiritual thing. This is spiritual business. We are encouraged here that as we look out for our interests, that's how we're to look out for the interests of others. So how is it that you care for yourself? In what ways do you take care of yourself? In what ways are you providing for yourself? How do you do that? Well, take that and just put it on everybody else. Just lay it on everybody else. What you do for yourself, just put it on everybody else. That's how we are to live. So then, he knows this is pretty hard. So this is how the passage goes. He says, look, Paul's saying in Philippians 2, let us think about this and let us all have the same mind about it. I want you to regard others, be humble, think of the needs of others, and do that by having the same mind that Christ had. And then gives the example of Christ. So we're told to do it like this, and Christ, the example, you know, of course, he had done it, you know, so much more magnified than we are called to. So let us be concerned for others. This is what Jesus did. Let us not seek to advance ourselves, but let us have a humble attitude and a humble mind. Let us regard others as more important than ourselves. Let us care about the needs of others. And I'm preaching to the choir, in a sense, because there have been so many examples, just constantly, every week I hear of examples of some of you going out of the way or going the extra mile to help somebody else. I just cannot complain. And this message is not meant to, you know, we're not doing it and we need to start doing it. It's not like that at all. It's been the opposite, actually. And I am just blessed to be a pastor of a church like this, where all of you are already walking in this kind of attitude, where you're thinking of others. And we are coming this morning, focusing on Christ, to just remind ourselves that, yes, we are doing it, and let's continue to do it, and let's do it a little bit more. Let us continue to strive, because it's easy to, well, you know, you get into the routine, and you just kind of, do the same things over and over again. But sometimes the Lord wants us to take another step, to take an additional step, to broaden a little bit more, to widen our horizons, if you will, and expand the ministry that we might have. So are you serving Christ? Continue to serve Christ. Are you serving Christ? The opportunities will continue to come towards you. And as the opportunities come towards you, then continue to take advantage of them and to serve Him further. To whom much is given, much is required. And so as you continue to serve Him, as you show yourself faithful, He's going to give you more. He's going to entrust more to your care. And this is how our ministry of service grows. It grows in Christ. As we are faithful in the little things, He will give us much more. So let's serve Christ together. Let's continue to serve Christ. And one of the ways that I am always amazed at is how we come together during VBS as a church and we serve Him. During VBS, we are going to have, never know how many people are going to come, but we're going to have 100 plus kids that come. And if you consider how many kids we have in this church, we're talking about 500% more. In other words, we are reaching the community. The people of our community are bringing their children to our VBS. I know some of them are bringing them so that we'll babysit them for 3 hours. Hey, that's a pretty significant chunk of time. But bring it on. We'll babysit your kids and tell them about Jesus at the same time. And hopefully, a seed will be planted in their little hearts that they will never forget as they grow up. One of the most striking things to me when I was going around and knocking on doors and sharing the gospel with people, I just cannot believe how many people say, yeah, I accepted Christ when I was in VBS and I was a kid. It's just amazing. So this is very impactful. This is something in which we can serve together. And again, one of the greatest things is how we rally together to serve Him.